Alright, hello, this is Throw Away Your Lust, and right now I am about to answer Lustful Crunches, the Crunchy Existentialism. Okay, so there are 15 questions here, and I sort of browsed through it a bit, but I didn't want to read too much of it because I wanted to go in candidly. So if this becomes like a fucking 40-minute long, I don't know, answer, I apologize in advance. Homegirl is just bored. Alright, so, Mr. Lustful Crunch, I am about to take on your questionnaire. Number one, you put aside your phone, book, or whatever else that has been keeping you up, close your eyes, and prepare to sleep. What do you think of before you succumb? Two things. The first one is I either think about my schedule for work. I have two jobs, so it is literally me just basically figuring out what to do. I already have the schedule written down in somewhere, but it's just basically me psyching up for the day, for the next day. And this usually just happens when I know that it's going to be a stressful day the next day. But if it's not, then the second one would be basically just fantasizing. Whatever I can think of, whatever comes in my imagination. Maybe the last audio that I listened to, I might refresh that in my mind. Or, yeah, whatever type of sexy time I can think of, that's what I do. Because it just helps me sleep faster. Number two. Sex. How much is too much? No. I can't say that. Then people might think I'm addicted. No. There is such a thing as too much sex. And I would say this is when your body can no longer keep up with your drive, and at the same time your schedule or your productivity is severely affected. Like you can't actually properly function at work. And we all have those fantasies of getting fucked in the office or somewhere, or having a significant other steal you away for the entire day just to do it like a bunch of rabbits. But yeah, again, that's what I think. That is when it's too much. That sounded so responsible of me. Alright. Number three. You are to compete with everyone on GWA for most orgasms in a day. What is your secret trick that will lead you to a most glorious victory? Okay. I'm just going to preface this by saying English is not my first language. So I basically read this two ways. So I'm going to answer this two ways. If you're asking me if I can make people orgasm the most in a day, competing against like other GWA guys, I would lose in an instant. I don't know, I just feel like there are more sexier sounds out there, and I can not compete with that. Second, if you're asking me if I can orgasm the most, as in myself, in a day, you're asking me what is my secret trick to that. Okay, I basically talked to this about with my significant other, like, almost all the time when he first figured it out. He could not, like, it blew his mind, okay? Well, maybe a lot of you experienced guys already know this. So we all know what hands-free orgasm is, right? That is my bread and butter when it comes to orgasms. Like, I don't need toys, I don't need fingers, I don't need hands. Unless, of course, I'm with my significant other, then hell yeah. But if it's just me, I don't need those. I just need a good fan fiction, a good story. I don't know, maybe head on to Literotica or, head on to GWA. I just need those. Like, maybe I can come up with a fucking playlist of all my favorites. Or, like, keep a set of stories to read. That's the only thing I need. The trick that I do is that, and I don't know, maybe ladies, if you haven't tried this, then definitely give it a shot, or maybe a lot of you already know about this. Cross your legs and uncross it, alright? Cross your legs and cross it, and then change the pressure between your legs. Like, you know, when you're squeezing your legs together, you're kind of gonna feel a little bit of a sensation. Find the right angle of your body. Maybe the right leg over the left leg works better, or the left leg over the right leg works better for you. You know, find the right angle, and eventually, if you keep doing that, if you keep changing how you're squeezing your legs, or changing how, you know, changing the pressure, changing the angle, you know, squirming or something, you're gonna figure that out, and you're gonna have an orgasm. Now, it's not always the best, of course. Penetration is always the best, but you know, if you need a quick stress reliever, or you just can't hold it in anymore, learn that trick. I think that trick is going to help me win if ever there was a weird competition like this. I probably won't participate, but you know, at least I'd know what to do. that answer went on too long. Number four, if ever, how often do you think of why you're on GWA? Also, if you know, would you like to tell us why you are? I'm really new to GWA. I'm even new on Reddit, okay? This is like the first or second month I'm on Reddit, and the first week that I'm on GWA. I always think about this, right? Especially since I'm with someone right now. And we've been together for a really long time. It's a really solid relationship. Now, I don't think me participating here will ever shake that off. We had a very decent and serious talk about this. And when he asked me why I'm on GWA, it's because, number one, it has helped me explore new things. And by exploring these new things, I could finally tell him what I actually want. Because in the past, I've struggled with sharing these fantasies. Now what I would just do is I would let him listen to, you know, some of the tags I'm into. If he doesn't want to listen to the entire thing, it's completely fine, but the point is he just has an idea of what I want. So one is that I can completely explore. Two is that I can release some heavily repressed Catholic schoolgirl sexual tendencies. I'm 23 anyway, so whatever. Three, and this might sound a little wild for you. Oh, this has gone wild audio, so sorry. This might sound a little weird, alright, but in both of my jobs, it usually tackles with speaking to a lot of people, sometimes speaking in front of a group or a large group of people. Sometimes it's not scripted, and it's really just, you know, putting yourself out there. But in a way, by putting myself out here, in this safe confined space where no one really knows me, but I'm doing like extreme uncomfortable audio, like this is way beyond my comfort zone, by forcing myself out there and just doing whatever, it kind of helps me as well when in real life, like when I have to handle talking to 100 people, 200 people. Because if you're able to, in my mind, if you're able to fucking pull off, you know, some erotic shit with your voice, and you can do it bravely and confidently, there's no doubt that it'll translate the same way. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that it'll translate the same way when it comes to public speaking in real life. So that's my third reason. It's basically to grow, you know, to grow a backbone, alright? Number five. Do you ever observe yourself thinking, How about thinking about observing yourself thinking? Okay. I am an overthinker. So yeah. Many times this has happened to me. Many times when this happens to me, I get... For a brief moment, I am paralyzed. I can't be productive. I can't do anything. Unless, you know, my train of thought ends or something more urgent comes up. So yeah, I mean, in the way I think as well, it's not just like, you know, just work stuff. Well, yeah, work stuff, planning, strategizing, daydreaming, fantasizing, any of those. You give me like 10 minutes of idle time to just think, and you will lose me for an hour or two. So yeah, I always do think. Sometimes I feel that it is, in a way, beneficial because my overthinking and my hyper... I don't know, the fact that I always daydream, in the past it's actually helped me and my team figure out what could go wrong in when we're planning certain things, so yeah, I do that. 6. So you are to dom someone who's usually a dom. How does this go down? Do you think you'd succeed? Alright. In the context of my boyfriend and I, he is a dom. Now in real life, I'm usually the more headstrong person. I usually prefer being able to call the shots. But with him, he's a dom. So, but recently, with GWA, I learned that I am kind of a dom too. So pretty soon we're going to try this out. But here's how my picture's going to go down. I know the things that he likes. I know what triggers him, I know what turns him on, and I could use that to my advantage. And I'm going to use that advantage to assert my dominance and make sure I'm the dom, starting up. The only problem here is that I'm a fucking weak person too. Not physically weak, but, you know, if you tease me enough, or if you, like, fuck with my mind, I easily break. Thus, I am the sub. So I think he's gonna pull off some tricky shit on me, right? Midway, maybe on the way to making out, or he's about to, you know, do some crazy shit. He's gonna pull off something that'll leave me helpless, for sure. And there's gonna be a switch, and I'm gonna be a sub, again. So, I think I can overpower him for a moment, but, I'm quite sure he's gonna, you know, put me back in my place. But if I do come up with a way, or if there's a day where I become a dom all the way, that's gonna be some crazy shit, man. I mean, maybe I should fantasize about that too. That's something to think about. Alright, 7. Why do you think you have the kinks and sexual preferences that you do? Are they a mystery, or do some of them perhaps have a little story? I don't know. I mean, even when I was exploring myself when I was a teenager, I kind of always knew that I wanted to not be in control when in the bedroom. To, you know, to be with someone experienced, or at least someone who can take control. Perhaps it's because even when I was a kid, I was already a very stubborn individual, someone who can, you know, someone who's pretty hard-headed, so maybe that's why. The same thing goes with the more extreme types of kinks, like, you know, rape, rape fantasies, mind control, hypnosis, all those things. It still has to do with the fact that you do not control the situation, or you have very little control of the situation. So yeah, maybe it's because I've always been outside. I've always been the headstrong girl, so. In 3 words, describe one of your best sexual experiences. Oh shit. Ooh. I have one in my mind. Oh god. Okay. If someone actually listens to this, maybe you want to write a script about this. Just maybe, okay? I'm not going to describe my sexual preferences in three words. My best sexual experiences in three words. I'm just gonna share with you this particular one. All right. I'm sorry, less full. I'm destroying your question right now. Good. Back in high school, I studied at a Catholic school. Okay, and Catholic schools where I come from, they usually have compounds, right? The campus usually has like a convent for nuns or for priests to stay at. That's where they live. They basically live in the school. So, where I'm from, the convent is a little, it's in a little corner in the campus where no one really goes because no one wants to deal with the nuns there. And, well, it's for the nuns. there's like a small little parking lot, right? In that parking lot, there's like a sole truck. All the time, it's just like one truck, and it's a covered parking lot. So it's pretty dark, pretty secluded. So no one really thinks about going there. So what my significant other and I would do is that when we get horny, we go over there. He would prop me against the truck, right in front of the convent. He is going to finger prop me, and I am gonna have to do my best to not know. I swear to God, this was in high school. Jesus Christ! Like I still think that's one of the best because you could get caught, man, and it's just one of the more liberating experiences for me because it's like, fuck yeah, we're doing it. Front of a Catholic convent, when people where a place where people would usually suppress their sexuality. I'm not saying convents do, but you know, in a Catholic setting, you're gonna have to suppress your sexual urges, right? And yeah, that's the same. That's what made it feel so liberating and feel so good. I can still remember it. It's still in my mind, man. All right. Before I go on. So yeah, that's one of my best sexual experiences. It may seem kind of lame, but for someone who, you know, I mean, take a look at the context here. You're in school, and you're doing it right in front of your school's convent, and you're fucking Catholic, man. Oh my God. No one knew. We were never caught. No one knew. Until to this day, no one knows what we did. Alright, but now, let's move on to number 9. What word has the most power over you in bed, and why? My nickname. I'm not gonna share my nickname. This is the most powerful word for me, is when he calls me by my nickname in bed. I'm done. Alright, I'm done. Let's do it. Whatever. Once he calls me that, then it means shit's about to go down, and yeah. I like it. I like my nickname because he gave it to me, basically. So it's, in a way, it's like possessive. It's him taking control. It's him taking care of me, or, you know, it's him taking what he wants. It's yeah. My God, this questionnaire is making me blush. What the fuck? Anyway, number 10. How do you view your past self, be it from yesterday or a decade ago? My past self has always been hesitant. I've always been, I mean, it takes a lot to coax me to do something. And I do a lot of double, triple, that's why I overthink. My nerves would always get the best of me. Unless I know that a certain activity or something is something I'm really good at, I'm not gonna do it. But that much has changed when I got to college and when I graduated, and I could say that right now my current self is something that my younger self would deeply admire, because here I am doing the things I love, even if it means having to pursue two jobs, creating good shit, doing the things I love, getting to travel, you know, saying yes to big opportunities. And all that nice stuff, right? And yeah, I mean, little younger me would probably not ever consider making audios. Yeah. So I'm kind of proud of new me, and I'm kind of happy of where I've got now. Where I am now. Okay, as I said, English is not my first language. Next, what have you learned about yourself recently? I recently learned that I could be a dog, and I've talked about that already. So, yeah. Okay, fine. Something outside of the bed. Alright, so what I've learned about myself recently is that, well, I now have to admit that I am a pretty intense workaholic. I got really sick 2 weeks ago because of so much stress, and I was told it's because of so much stress from two jobs. I know I said I'm happy about where I am in my life, but there's all it, you know, stress also goes with that. Something that I didn't realize early on, and that's the reason why I got sick. It's also why I got myself a guitar, even though I haven't played that guitar for like even though I haven't played a guitar for like 8 years now, and I clearly suck at it now, but at least it's something that takes my mind off of things, and you know, it silences the thoughts in my head. So yeah, I mean, if you're being stressed at work right now, you know, do what you can, take breaks, try to put yourself, you know, try to like delete work stuff in your mind once you get home, right? So yeah. Next, what type of voice gets you going more so than any other? No one beats. Not no one beats. Nothing beats deep, aggressive, growling, possessive voices. That is something that I really, really, really cannot resist. Jesus Christ. It works so well. It works so well. It works so perfectly well for me. That kind of voice does. I don't really give a crap about accents. I don't really mind. But if you could become commanding within like the first, you know, first 2 minutes of the audio, boom, you got me, sir. But you know what, recently I've also discovered little whimpering noises, you know, the ones where they beg, they plead. It's starting to work on me too. So goddamn you, GWA, for unlocking too many things about me when it comes to sex. Alright, what's your favorite cereal? If none, please explain your mysterious distaste to cereal. I love cereal. Cereal is my ultimate comfort food, next to popcorn. But I'm a kid inside. I'm a child. I love sweets. So definitely Cocoa Crunch, Honey Stars, and Fruit Loops. So those three are my favorite. And yeah, that makes me happy. I mean, I can eat it breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Sorry, I'm a child. I'm 23, but I'm a child. Number 14. Voila. Wow. God exists. What has confused him the most about you? Ha ha ha. What has confused him the most about you? Okay. Now, I come from a Catholic background. I'm a former Catholic. I'm agnostic now. I'm going to base this God on what I know about the Catholic God. I don't think he's gonna be confused that much. I think he's gonna understand me and my actions. Perhaps if this God, if the God that Catholics look up to, would ever be confused, it would, you know. I don't know. Because if you don't know the kind of Catholic God, you know, if you don't know how Catholics define their God, he's basically an all-knowing, all-seeing type of guy. So he'd know why you do the things you do. He'd know why, you know, certain things happen to you. He'd also probably know why what's going to happen to you in the future. So, yeah, I'm not sure. If he wasn't an all-seeing, you know, if he wasn't an all-seeing, all-knowing God, then what would probably confuse him is my sudden switch from breaking up with Catholicism, because even when I was younger, I was part of the church choir. I was a devout Catholic. I could recite Bible verses from the, like it's a goddamn Harry Potter book. Like, you know, I could do references. I could probably do good Reddit references if I still remember the, you know, some, if I still remember the stories in the Bible. It'll probably be my sudden switch, if ever. But I think he's gonna know why too. So, yeah. Lastly, you get to pick whatever life you want to live. No limits, time, sci-fi, whatever you need to fulfill your optimal living. Tell us about it and then ask yourself, is GWA still a part of that life? Alright. The life I want to live is just basically succeeding with my passion. I'm the type of person who gets into a lot of things, who gets passionate about a lot of things. But there's just one specific industry or whatever that I'm really passionate about. If I could succeed in doing the things I love, if I could make a dent, not really make a dent, if I can make an impact in the industry that I love the most, then that's the kind of life I want to live. You know, and whatever is part of that life is basically anything and everything that would help me succeed or that will help me take things further. Is GWA still part of that life? I most certainly think so. Because I'm not gonna say that GWA changed my life so impactful. Maybe it is, but I can't say it right now because this is literally just my first week. But I do think that right now I could feel that it is benefiting me in real life in my career, because slowly I'm getting out of my shell and I'm getting more and more out of my comfort zone. So yeah, definitely GWA will be a part of that life if it continues to do so, if it continues to fulfill me, teach me new things, push me up, push my boundaries, and that, you know, and that translate into my career. And yeah, definitely. Oh, this is the last question. Alright, so I don't know how long this has gone. 27 minutes, Jesus Christ, I am so sorry if you're still here. I apologize, and I'm gonna end this as briefly as I can. Thank you very much to Lustful Crunch for that amazing questionnaire. There are some things that I didn't, that I realized as I was answering this. Yeah, that's it. See you guys in the next audio, I guess. Bye. Did I just end it like a YouTube video? What the hell?